Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is October 13th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by subscribing to MotorVitality.com or visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives, or by subscribing to MotorVitality.com on whatever podcast application you happen to use. Just a reminder for those of you listening to this on recording, which I know a lot of you do, I get the reports and I see the downloads every week, and I want to acknowledge you guys because there are far more of you listening to this on recording right now than sometimes hop on live. I want to again extend the invitation for you guys to be here live because I love the discussions. You know, I love the conversations that we have. It's what drives it and keeps it from becoming the Kelly Thompson half hour, if you will. The other thing, though, is that just a reminder that only members, Motor Vitality members, are able to access the all but the last five recordings. So on the website, and we are working on being able to do that on the podcast as well. So. Anyway, we'll start the call off the way we do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Anything? You know, I found myself... And Jen's on vacation this week. She usually, this is the point where, you know, pay homage to Jen here. She usually hops in and says, Callie, you know, come rely on her for that kind of stuff. She's great at that stuff. But I actually did learn a couple things this week that I didn't know before. And one of which I'm just going to give a teaser on because I haven't had time to sit down. Maria, you'll love this. But this is in the... in the same category as wow, I never knew that, you know. And I look, I've been doing this almost a quarter of a century, and it's incredible to me how often I learn something that I really feel like I should have known, like I just simply didn't know. So one of the things that I learned this week is that, you know, we always talk about the Safe Drinking Water Act and the EPA, you know, 1974, the Safe Drinking Water Act, and I have taught about that thing over and over and over, and it is true that the Safe Drinking Water Act does cover, you know, it's the U.S., it's run by the Environmental Protection Agency, but there is one state that is different, that is specifically spelled out differently. It's actually covered by a section of the Safe Drinking Water Act called Section 8 or Region 8. And that's Wyoming. Wyoming does not fall under the same rules as all the other states. Wyoming and Washington, D.C., but Washington, D.C. is not a state. But they both are covered under – now, they still have to follow the guidelines. They have to follow the rules. They still have to meet all the minimum drinking water requirements. It's just the way that it's enforced and the way they are the way that they are held accountable for that. Thought it was kind of interesting. So that's one that I plan on delving deeper into just to learn a little bit more about it. There's so much. It's always amazing to me how much you can learn, you know, that there is still to learn, things that you've forgotten. So Wyoming, Washington, D.C., they're two different. And I think it has to do, Washington, D.C., obviously, because they're not a state. Wyoming, I think it has to do with the Indian reservations, like the way that the tribal rules and stuff there. Although I don't know why that wouldn't be in places like North Dakota or whatever. So like I said, stay tuned, delving in. Thought you guys might like to take that journey with me. Kind of interesting. I actually found myself watching C-SPAN the other night. I mean, yes, it was at night, and yes, I couldn't really get to sleep. Stuff in my mind, so I'm flipping through, and hey, C-SPAN, if there was ever a channel designed to help you get to sleep. But I was able to catch a lot of the hearing in front of the Supreme Court for the water reuse, which is a huge deal going on right now out west on what, you know, how to actually define portions of the Safe Drinking Water Act in, you know, in land development. Specifically, they were talking a lot about marshland, you know, and its connectivity to larger bodies of water, you know. So, you know, do you consider marshland that is dried up half the year to be part of a larger body of water? I mean, it was kind of interesting listening to how they were talking about it and the impacts that it had and stuff like that. Of course, I'm just a water geek. So, but I discovered you can actually find a lot of that stuff on YouTube or, you know, if you just Google and watch those videos. It's kind of interesting. And this, why is this relevant? Because, you know, those of you that have listened to me before know that I really talk a lot about becoming an expert in your field. Not just knowing the script, not just knowing what, you know, what your manufacturer, what your specific company has told you, but getting outside of your bubble and really learning about our industry. I mean, yes, it's true. I hop on my soapbox often, and I will say that I believe from the bottom of my heart that this is the most important industry on the planet. I mean, what we do truly impacts lives and politics and you know, people just all over this planet, and it's all interconnected. I mean, there's so much around it. So being an expert, understanding, and you can pick your passion. You know, you can't be an expert on every aspect of the water treatment industry, but pick your passion and really dive into that one, you know, that specific part. But I think just understanding how each section of what we do impacts the other areas of what we do, you know, the other areas of our industry. I think that's kind of interesting. Thoughts or comments on my little soapbox rant there? Anybody have anything to add to that? Okay. So the topic I wanted to discuss today, and another one you guys are going to go, what? How's that? Does that have anything to do with us? I want to talk about no soliciting signs. So we see these on businesses. So this is one I wanted to ask you guys just out there. Those of you on the call, I know there's only a few of us on today, but do any of you work in a building where you personally have a no soliciting sign? I mean, where the company has a no soliciting sign? Maria, I know you don't have one on there, I don't think. Been there, but is there a no soliciting sign on your door, on your company's door?
No.
You guys don't have any? I was kind of curious about that. So let me ask you why, and this just I want to kind of get your thoughts on this. I want to talk about why people would put a no soliciting sign on their office door. Why would people put a no soliciting sign on their office door? What are some reasons they might put one up there?
They don't want to be interrupted by salespeople.
Yeah, by salespeople. Those damn salespeople. Those people that just come interrupting. Yes, I agree. So let's dive deeper into that. I mean, what makes them not want to be interrupted by a salesperson? I mean, what's the salesperson doing that makes them not want to be interrupted?
Most salespeople, I think, don't know how to communicate, and they just don't come across the right way. It's helping versus selling.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's where we're going to end up going with this. Exactly. That's kind of where we're going to end up. But I think that there are no. There's probably few better indicators of the way we typically bring our products and services to market than with a no soliciting sign. And in particular, so we have talked a lot in the past, and we're going to touch on it again here in a few minutes, just on the importance now I'm talking to the people creating their own business out there, the people developing relationships, creating their own business, getting to know other people in the industry, okay? I mean, the truth is, if you're in an office and somebody, I mean, you don't consider the, why don't you consider the UPS or the FedEx guy or the mail lady to be solicitors? What's the difference between them just popping in? They just show up and open your door and walk in. What's the difference between them and a salesperson?
Typically, they're bringing you something you want. You probably ordered.
That's right. They're coming in to give you something. Welcome. Bring me stuff. Right? They are allowed to walk into your office, and you don't consider that an interruption because they are bringing you things that you want. Not necessarily the mail lady, but it's stuff that she's, you know, that other people are sending you. She's coming in and giving you something. Rarely is she coming in and taking something from you. Now, the things that she's bringing you may want to take from you. You may say, all right, no solicitors or mail lady, right? You know, but and maybe they're bringing you the bills and all that stuff. But I think that's a key difference, okay? And I think you said it correctly that most salespeople, it's about taking. I mean, when a salesperson walks into an office, we have to explore that, but let me first kind of go talk about where I'm going with this, okay? Because I do believe it's really important for those of you that are in sales out there. We have to create relationships, okay? I know if I worked in an office or I was a salesperson required to work in an office, and somebody genuinely walked in, not just claiming to, but genuinely able to offer me referrals or leads, I would be willing to listen to that. That would be interesting. That's something that I need. I mean, shoot, I'm spending money on advertising, marketing. You know, we're spending all this money out there to get the phone to ring. If a gift horse walks in my door saying, I would like to give you business, okay, that's something I would probably be interested in. And if it's legitimate business, you know, because the first thing, if somebody just walks in off the street, nothing comes easy, right? Somebody just walks in off the street and says, hey, I'd like to give you business. My spidey sense, you know, starts tingling, right? And I'm going, okay, what's the catch? What do I have to give? What do you want me to buy from you, right? Because that's rarely does that happen. And so I think that it's really important. First off, I think that is something you should be doing, is offering to exchange a relationship with people out there that have related type industries. Okay, I mean, I'm talking about your appliance stores and your kitchen and bath design stores and your granite countertop people and your grout cleaners and you know your all these people out there, your plumbers and your well drillers and the propane people, the HVAC people. I mean, pick them. There's so many of them that are in the same homes as you guys who share your exact same customers. I mean, stop and think about who your customers are. And what are they buying from other people? Those other people are the people that you want to build the relationships with. And sometimes there's different ways of doing that. And each one of those ways could be a different call. It could be going to Business Networking International. You know, that's the BNI groups. You know, those are the lead exchange groups where you go and you sit and you all kind of exchange leads. And it's a safe place to give referrals to each other. Okay. Or you can do what I did when I was in sales, which was spend a lot of my day going around and just simply introducing myself and getting to know people that shared my customers. My customers bought propane. I was out in the country, and a lot of them had propane delivered. So I got to know the people who delivered propane. And, because, you know what, they ran the gas lines, the propane lines, right around the same times they ran the water lines in most of the houses that were being built. So that kind of worked out pretty well. I got to know the electricians because, you know what, the electricians had the same customers as mine. Okay, and when do you go? They're, you know, that's a whole other conversation, a whole other time on the time of day to go visit them. But I want to talk specifically about how to approach them. And if you're going to go build those relationships, if you are going to offer them something of value, which legitimately you can do, okay, because, I mean, take the appliance stores. People's appliances break because of hard water. Okay, I mean, hard water, rusty water, faucets break. You could, you know, take a kitchen design place, okay? Kitchens and baths look like crap because of the water. Water destroys that stuff. They got old houses, they're remodeling, they're doing all of that stuff. And there are times, and maybe I'm just unique, maybe it's only ever happened to me, but there are times when I would, many, many, many times that I would walk into a house and they would tell me that they were just looking at, I mean, sometimes, you know, they weren't quite ready for me. Sometimes they would say, yeah, we're just trying to budget out. We're going to do a bathroom remodel and we're trying to budget out what it's going to cost. And after we're all done, we want to put in a water softener to help protect it all. And we just want to find out what those are going to cost. Okay. We're going to be 6 months from now before we're ready to buy one. All right. That's one scenario. Another scenario is they say, we're about to remodel the bathroom and we want to put in a water softener before we do anything else because we don't want an ounce of this nasty water touching anything that we put in. We want to, we want to protect the water right from the very beginning. I way prefer it that way, actually. Okay. Both of those, though, can turn into legitimate referral opportunities. Because my question is going to go, oh, really? Who are you guys? Are you guys designing the, you know, doing the bathroom model yourself? Who are you using? And maybe they'll have somebody. Well, we haven't even gotten that far. We're still researching that. I can tell you, I have worked with, if you want, you know, I've done a lot of work. I know a lot of customers that have used them. They've got great reviews. ABC Kitchen and Bath Design, I don't know if you've spoken with them, but they are phenomenal. Okay. Oh, really? I have a card in right here. Here's their number. I don't know if people do business cards and that type of stuff anymore, but you can give them, you know, shoot them their number. And then you get on the phone and you call ABC Bath and you say, hey, Kelly over at Joe Schmo Water, I got another referral for you. They're about to do this, you know, and they're looking for quotes and that type of stuff. Now, how did I get to a point where I had that relationship and I felt comfortable enough? And why? And am I willing to put my reputation of quality and service on the line to refer somebody? I'm not just going to refer anybody just because I happen to have a business card for them. I want to refer them because I do believe. I mean, what happens if I give them a referral and ABC Kitchen and Bath goes out there and screws it all up? And now, you know, I look bad. Right. I'm not going to give somebody a referral that's going to hurt me. I'm going to give them a referral to somebody that I really believe in, somebody that I trust. So how do we get to that point? We get to that point by remembering that it's not going to be a quick transaction. You don't get married to somebody. You don't meet them. You don't walk into their place of business one day and say, hey, will you marry me? That's just not going to happen. They're going to look at you like, who are you and why are you walking in? So let's explore that for just a second. Okay, walking into their place to develop the relationship to where you get to a point where you can hand out a business card and legitimately refer them and hopefully earn those referrals back. I mean, it does have to be a give and take, right? But we're going to start the difference between the sales guy who walks into most places of business and the FedEx guy is that the FedEx guy is giving something, is delivering something, right? We're going to start there. We're going to start, if we're going to walk into a place of business with somebody that we want a relationship with, there's a couple things we have to recognize. First off, we're going to do a little research ahead of time. Make sure that this company, we're going to go on Google and look at the reviews. Before we ever walk into that building, we're going to go online, we're going to look at their Google reviews. If they've got 2-star reviews, is that somebody you want referring you? Move on to the next one. Go to the person with the 5-star reviews, you know, with the where they are giving great customer service to their customers. That's who you want to do business with. Doesn't matter if they're the least expensive. Are you the least expensive system out there? No. In fact, probably better if they're not. If they sell a high-end product and you sell a high-end product, that's where you want to that's where you want to go. And by the way, if you work with a company that has a solid reputation, you know, it's a well-known brand, people know it, okay, and it's, you know, it's easily recognized, use that. They would, you know, they would like to marry that. People, companies marry each other all the time. They use each other's reputations, you know, the name recognition all the time. You see that. But anyway, remember that when you're walking into their place of business, it is exactly that. It's their place of business. And when you walk in, they're going to immediately peg you as a salesperson. They're going to know you are not a customer coming to buy something from them. And so you have to be respectful of their time. They're paying rent. They're, you know, and whether it's the person that you're talking to when you first walk in or not, it may just be the receptionist, maybe whatever. Okay, but they work there. They work there. Okay, if you see a no soliciting sign on the door, you've got to, now a lot of times that no soliciting sign has been there, you know, through five different tenants. So don't assume that just because you see one on the door that it belongs to that company. But even if it does say that, you can't go in there and sell anything, okay? You have to make it clear that you're going in there to offer something, and you can't just make that offer on that first visit. It's got to be something like, hey, this is Kelly from I'm Kelly from Joe Schmo Water. You know, there's a lot of occasions where I have people that are, you know, that ask me, they're remodeling their kitchens before they put in water treatment and everything. And they're, sometimes they'll ask me if I recommend somebody to, you know, to help them design and put the stuff in. Right now, I'm not working with anybody. I was wondering if there was a time next week where we could schedule 15 or 20 minutes and sit down, you know, at your convenience and sit down and maybe you could kind of tell me a little bit about how you guys do your business and what's there. And if it all looks good, maybe I can hand out a few of your cards for you, you know, when I'm out there. You're not going to have that conversation right then and there, probably. Sometimes it happens. But usually, you got to show them that you respect their time. You can't just walk in there and take it. Okay, Elaine, did I hear you on the call? Thought I heard Elaine.
Yes, I'm.
So you're an owner, a manager. Okay, if somebody walks into your office on the street, how often are you giving them time of the day right then and there? You have other stuff going on. Would you rather they ask you for an appointment or a time to talk, or would you be willing to just stop, drop what you were doing and jump into that conversation right then and there?
Pretty much, I have Liz at the front desk screen everybody and find out what
screen. Yeah, and find out what they want. And that's important, right? So a lot of times, because you're not sitting at the front desk, neither are the people that would be in the position to build that relationship. Although, you know, a lot of times you're not going to get the relationship with the owner. I mean, you're not in the home, right, Elaine? You're not out there. So how do you get in front of, I mean, your type of business would be completely different. You know what I would want to do? Let's say, I mean, is your business much different than windows or HVAC or, you know, appliances, Elaine? The way you run your company, is it basically set up the same way as these other companies?
Well, we all have the same customer, so.
Right. You have the same customers. You have a sales department. You have a service department, right? Sometimes combined, but usually there. You have an admin department, right?
Yep. Department,
okay.
Yep, everything.
You have sales meetings?
Yes.
What kind of training? Do you do training at your sales meetings?
We've actually started a half-hour daily training. So, yes, we have lots of training.
So if I sell real estate, or if I'm a well driller and I came to you and said, hey, can I have 15 minutes at your sales meeting to explain to your guys how a well works? Okay, to educate them.
I'd like them to come. Yes. Who do you know in California?
right. You would jump on it, right? I mean, that would be really valuable information for your guys to have. Not for them to come in and give you a big sales pitch, but would that be the beginning of a relationship? Would that be something of value for your team?
It would.
Yeah. So would it also be valuable to an appliance, you know, every dishwasher owner's manual out there makes reference to hard water. But how many dishwasher salespeople or appliance salespeople how many of them understand how a water softener works, know anything about it? So if you are walking in and here's something of value, you find that company out there that is set up exactly like yours, Elaine, except that they're selling a different product. And you go in and say, you know, if you guys do sales meetings, I'd love to come in and just take 15 or 20 minutes and explain how these things work. You know, all your owner's manuals talk about them. I could just explain how they work. What do you figure the odds are that they're going to react any differently than you would, Elaine?
I think we'd be similar, yeah.
It'd be exactly similar, and that is the beginning of a relationship. So let's bring it home, you guys, because the time is a ticking here. Why do people put no soliciting signs up? It's because they don't want a salesperson walking in trying to take from them. Elaine, your business, you're paying rent. You're paying for your company. You're not paying for somebody else to come in and try and make a sale to you. I mean, you have to buy stuff. Your company has to buy stuff. So you do have salespeople that come in, but those salespeople, yeah, they have to get through the gatekeeper, right? They have to really show that they have something of value to offer you before they can get a sit down in front of you, right? So here's my summary, guys. If you see a no soliciting sign on a door, let that be a reminder that sales should be far more about giving than taking, always. And that's the case in the home. That's the case everywhere you go. But if you're looking to create your own business, people are coming back to work. They're coming back to the office. Not everybody's working at home like they were a couple years ago. People are in the office, you know, so they're there. Now is the time to get out there and develop those relationships. If you're not happy with the amount of money that you're making or the amount of leads you have, go out there and develop those relationships and create that business. You guys have heard me say this before, but it is true. The most house leads I ever got in any single year when I was in sales, and I sold about 350 units a year. And the most house leads, and the best year I had was when I had 23 house leads. The entire year, 23 house leads for the whole year. How did I sell 350 units that year? It was by going out there and developing those relationships. It was in having all those people out there that shared customers with me willing to refer me. And I was willing to refer them too. My job, the sales part, going out and doing plumbing assessments and putting in water treatment, you know, installing, you know, I didn't install back then, but teaching, you know, selling them softeners and drinking water systems, that was secondary. That was a secondary part. My job, what I consider to be my job, was going out there and creating that business and developing those relationships. And I loved that part of it because it was just talking to people. It was just getting to know some very cool people who basically shared the same challenges that I did day in and day out. Okay. All right. So summary, don't worry about the no soliciting signs because you're not soliciting. You're offering, you're giving. There's a big difference. And people will sense that. They'll know it when you have something of value to offer as opposed to something to take. Any final thoughts or comments on this? Did I bring this home okay? I felt like I got it. I took a long way to get there. did I bring it home okay, you guys? Was this any thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, it was good.
I thought it was great.
All right. Go on. No, okay. That's it for today. I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. Please be safe. Thanks so much for coming without the reminders. I know we didn't send out the reminder email, so I really appreciate you guys taking the time to be on. So thanks, everybody. Be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
See ya.